Last week, we were talking about holiness. And it's not a topic that maybe a lot of pastors are focusing on at Christmas. But we're calling this message, part one and part two of this message, Having Happier Holidays. And last week we talked about holidays being holy days. So we want to see you have not only just great holidays, but holy days. And, there were several things that I said last week. I can't go back and redo that. So I encourage you, if you want to get the fullness of what I'm talking about today, maybe go back and catch what I said last week, and that'll help. Because you all don't want me to repeat myself. I could preach the whole message. All the notes are right here. I could just go right back to the top and start over again. I'm not going to do that to you. And it would be like an hour and a half. No, just kidding. Almost, maybe. Anyway, I'm going to try to be timely today. But you can always catch up on our messages on YouTube or on a podcast format. And those things are available at BethelDefiance.com. Click on resources and you'll see them right there. Podcasts and YouTube. First two things on resources. And it's really a nice thing to do. Not for me. I don't even know for sure. There's probably some way I can quantify how many people do it. I don't really know. And that's not the big thing. The big thing is that it's there and it's available to you. And I listened to some of the messages twice, as I mentioned last week. I re-listened to Kurt's last message, and I re-listened to Mark's last message, because that was while I was out with the little COVID thing going on. And I wanted to rehear them, and I picked up stuff. God spoke to me. It was good. So not repeating last week, let's try to pick up where we left off. Now, I was driving to the church this week, and I'm coming down Baltimore Street, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23, which is where we left off last week. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23. That was the last scripture I quoted. I said a few more things and wrapped up the message, but I want to get back to that to add a little something to that before we go forward. So I literally added to my notes a little bit because of what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23. How many of you are there? Say amen. Okay. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. That's a really, really interesting word, edify. And I talked about it a little bit last week. I mentioned that it means, well, it's connected to edifice. That's a building, something that's built. And this word edify really literally means to build up. Not all things are helpful, and not all things build us up. So let me just ask it this way. This is what popped into my mind as I was driving down the road. What's the opposite of building up? Tearing down. Yeah. Isn't that interesting to think of it? I hadn't thought of it that way. That the opposite of building up is tearing down. So if you do all things, all the things that might be lawful for you, those things might be lawful, but they're not helpful and they don't build you up. That means they could be doing one of two things, either wasting your time or tearing you down, making it even harder to live. So if you had a choice to be built up or to be torn down, which would you want to do? What if you and I choose or can choose to experience things that build us up rather than choosing things that are less than edifying? It's made me think since I heard that, and this has been on my mind for really literally decades, that sometimes we have to watch what we're watching, we have to watch what we're listening to, we have to be careful because some things are not made to build us up. Some of them may have no effect on us whatsoever, which is also a waste of time. And some of them may actually be tearing us down. And sometimes we have to make decisions on things that are that are weakening us, that are trying to take away from what God's trying to do in us. And we have to think, is that something, it's lawful. It may not be a evil, horrible sin. There are a lot of Christians who, you know, some struggle with things in the background, and almost all of us have things. We, you know, maybe you struggle with your temper, or maybe you struggle with this. We could name all sorts of things. But then there's even the things where we're not really struggling, we're just not really getting the fullness of what God has for us. Because instead of being built up, we're just, it's just meh. That's a word these days I hear. Meh. Doesn't really do anything for you. Meh. And I got to thinking, wow, what would it look like if a person was constantly receiving of things that were edifying, that actually were building up? In other words, I wasn't wasting any of my time, but I was making the most of all of my time and getting built up in everything that I did. And if it wasn't building me up, I just switched from whatever it was that I was doing because it didn't build me up, and I went to something else. What would that look like? And it dawned on me, I know exactly what that would look like. It would look like Jesus. I don't think Jesus wasted a single moment of time. By the way, for young people especially, older people don't have this problem generally, but children, young people, Jesus never ever in his entire life, listen to me, I'm telling you, this is the gospel truth, he was never ever bored. I heard someone say this the other day. His children would say, I'm bored. It only happened a couple of times because he'd look at him and say, no, you're not bored, you're just boring. See, I'm never bored. My problem is I'm thinking of a dozen different things that I could be doing and trying to categorize them as to importance and what has to be done next. I see a lot of you adults, especially you grandparents, you know, you got it. You've gotten to a point where boredom just never happens anymore. It's not going to happen. There's not a, you wish you could be bored. I would love to go someplace like on an island and just be bored for a week. It'd be awesome. But see, I wouldn't, because I would recognize that I was in that moment. See, I intentionally rest. I'm an intentional rester. I will say to myself, I need to take some time and I need to rest. And when I'm resting, I don't want anything to be happening. I want to be bored, if you will. The other thing that I said, you know, someone who was constantly only receiving edification and wasn't tying into things that were wasteful or were destructive, the other, besides Jesus, the other thing that I would call that is I would call that holiness. Holiness, being set apart. So that here we go. This is the one that, this is convicting for me if it's not convicting for you. So that I might have to lift my remote control and go, that's not doing me any good right now. In fact, it's probably doing the opposite. It's either not doing me good or it's below that not doing me good line. If it's above the not doing me any good line, it's edifying me. Okay. But if it's below the not doing me any good line, it's tearing me down. And I have to ask myself, what would my life look like? Because I'm not there. I'm like Paul. I'm still reaching out to get these things. But what would my life look like if I could focus all the time on the things that actually build me up? And while I'm here, wonder what our lives would look like if not only did we do things to be built up, constantly trying to pull in that which is edifying, what would it look like if we were edifiers? And I just will remind you, because I've brought this up many times, and I will probably bring it up again, may come up in next week's sermon again, I don't know, but Jesus was at the well where the woman showed up, and he was so tired he couldn't even go into town, and he sent the disciples into town to get food, and when the woman showed up and they were gone, he spoke into her life, and he edified her, but guess what happened to him? Remember? He got energy, and when the guys came back and said, here's your food, he goes, I don't need that, I got food you guys don't know anything about. And they were like, did somebody come and feed him? What? Look at him. He's a powerhouse. Because sometimes when we are in edification mode, when we are building up others, we begin to build up ourselves. See, God wants you built up. God wants you going on all cylinders. He wants you, whatever metaphor you want to have for being full of life, that's what God wants you full of. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He came that I might have life and more abundantly. I want to walk in that abundant life. And that life is a holy, set apart life. Now, last week I ended with a couple of questions. The first question was, is there anyone here that wouldn't like to operate in a greater level of the Holy Spirit? I can't imagine you're here, that you attend here, that you come here on a regular, that you've put up with me for many, many years, many, many of you, and you don't want more of the Holy Spirit. I think you probably do. Although, I have encouraged people to press into the Holy Spirit and saw them a little nervous about it, because he's not tame. You never know what the Holy Spirit may do. You start pressing into the Holy Spirit, you could end up on the floor, or you could end up going to some foreign country and being martyred. And everybody's like, well, trust me, if God wants you martyred, it's the coolest thing you'll ever do in your life. Because remember, you're going to live forever. And everybody's going to know. We won't go there today. Some of you are just freaking out already. Okay, so first question was, is there anyone who wouldn't want to have more of the Holy Spirit? I want more of the Holy Spirit. I want to walk every day in the awareness of the Holy Spirit around me, and I want to be present with him so that I can see the things that I otherwise couldn't see and do the things that I otherwise couldn't do and have opportunities to minister to people and to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit. The second question I asked was, is it possible that it might be just a little harder to operate in the Holy Spirit if I'm not a holy person? I think that's probably the case. If I'm not willing to separate myself off from some things, I'm not sure that I will ever become what I'm destined, or not maybe even destined, but able to become. Is a better word, able. Because I didn't separate myself off and wasn't holy, so now the Holy Spirit, who separates with those, or who works with those who are separate, who works with those who are holy, is able to work in me in ways that he otherwise couldn't work in me. So Hebrews chapter 12 has an interesting passage that I want to read to you. Therefore, and I'm not going to go back and find the therefore, but you can go look it for yourself. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight the paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Just repeating. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. When we read this passage, I think sometimes that little thing that I just said, we read it, but our thought is, without holiness, no one goes to heaven. That's not what it said. It says no one will see the Lord in verse 9. I want to note that this context is not a context of heaven. This context is the here and now. It's dealing with our daily lives. We are instructed to strengthen our hands and our feeble knees. Are you going to need to strengthen yourself, your hands, and your feeble knees when you get to heaven? No. So the context is the daily life that we're living. We all will have strong hands and strong knees. Some of you are like, I could use a strong knee right now. In the name of Jesus, be healed. I just speak that over you. We need to pursue holiness, not in the next life, but in this life. There are multiple words in the scripture translated see. And the Greek language has some nuances that we don't have. Some of you have heard this. Many of you have heard this. There are four kinds of love in the Greek language. So sometimes you have to look at these words and kind of see them a little more carefully to get what is trying to be said. John 16:16 is an interesting verse. Let me just read it to you. A little while and you will not see me. Again, a little while and you will see me because I go to the Father. I love verses like this when I find them in the scripture. I know several. There's a scripture that talks about receiving and has two different kind of receives in it. One's to take and one is to accept. This is two different kinds of see within the same verse. Jesus says, as he's getting ready to leave, this is Garden Gethsemane stuff, or on the way to the garden at least. He's getting ready to be gone. He's getting ready to be crucified. And he says, in a little while, and you will not see me. And the word there in the Greek is that kind of, you know, like I'm seeing you, like you're able to look up front and see me. It's a very in the natural kind of word. Then the second word, he says, and then you will see me because I go to the Father. If he's with the Father, how are you going to see him? You're going to see him in the natural? No, if he's sitting next to the Father and you're seeing him, when you see God at that level, you're seeing outside of the natural eye and you're seeing with spiritual eyes. Does this make sense to you? This you can nod if you want. Okay, I got you thinking real hard, I can tell. You remember how the disciples were on the road to Emmaus and they were actually physically seeing a person, but they didn't recognize him? And they're going down the road and they say, hey, why don't you come and stay with us? Have something to eat. And he acted like he was going to go on further, but he said, no, come in here. And when he sits down and he breaks the bread, all of a sudden they see what they could not see. That's what I'm talking about. See, God wants you to be able to see beyond the natural in this life. And how many of you have had that experience where God shows you something and if it hadn't been for God, you would have done something stupid? But God gave you a vision, a revelation, an understanding. Somehow you saw something that can't be seen and you knew you didn't want to, so you, and then it turned out good. When we walk in holiness, we move ourselves out of the natural and we move ourselves into the supernatural. The more holiness we walk in, the more supernatural we become. So we can look around the room and we know everybody and everybody knows us and we know how supernatural we are and we can all say, hey, we got some room to grow. Awesome. But you do. There isn't anybody in this room who couldn't be more supernatural. There isn't anybody in this room who couldn't step it up a level and out of a walk of holiness get something that couldn't be gotten any other way. Now, again, let me remind you, I want to pull back to last week, but I got a different story this time. There was a season a while back, probably mostly a year ago, 6 months ago to a year ago, where I had to make a decision. And my decision was whether I was going to drink as much pop as I like drinking. See, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not everything builds me up. And the problem was I was having more and more problems with my voice. I was having trouble with it. And some of you will remember, I was coughing a lot. And I made a decision to set myself apart from pop. So I used to drink pop almost every day. Because I like pop. It's fizzy. Y'all like pop, don't you? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Pop, pop, pop. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that, because if you're not a singer and you don't, you know, it's not important, but I had to separate myself from the volume of pop that I was drinking, because I was, instead of drinking water or anything like water, I would drink pop. While I was at it, by the way, I also made the shift, and now I don't drink anything with caffeine in it, if I can help it. And once in a while, I'll be out with somebody, I'll have a caffeinated drink, but I try to avoid caffeine like the plague. Because I'm getting older. Have any of you noticed that? Yeah. Anybody notice that as you get older, you have a harder time sleeping? Yeah, some of you are going, no. I sleep all day. But I digress. But yeah, and some of you will remember, I preached on I actually preached a message, I think I mentioned this last week too, on, you know, God giveth his beloved sleep. Caffeine will interrupt most people's sleep patterns, even if they think it's not. Even if you think, I used to think as a young man, I could drink all the caffeine I wanted. I would drink caffeine, you know, have a nice Mountain Dew and go to bed and sleep. But I didn't know it was actually affecting me to some degree. And the older I've gotten, how many of you know, you get older and things affect you more. Or sometimes you just have a change. I remember Lisa had no allergies when I married her, and then we moved to Auburn, and all of a sudden she had allergies. Yeah, she remembers that, yeah. So what I'm saying is there are things that we have to set aside on an individual basis, and we have to determine whether I'm going to let myself be built up and do better. And by the way, my voice is doing much better because I've been not drinking pop like I used to. Do I miss it? Some days. Yeah. But here's the thing. What do we want? Do we want more of him flowing through us? Do we want more of things like being able to sing when you get up and not cough your head off? Do we want to benefit from the things that our saying no becomes a bigger yes to something else? Think about that. Your no can create a bigger yes for something else. One last scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And I'm reading from a very odd translation. Some of you are familiar with it, the Passion Translation. It's kind of cool, but I'm going to read it. I just really like this. And this is Paul who's writing to Timothy. And it's one of my favorite sections of the scripture. But when I read it out of the Passion Translation, I thought, I'm going to use that. He says to Timothy, I'm writing to you, encourage you to fan into flame and rekindle the fire of the spiritual gift of God imparted to you when I laid my hands on you. For God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit, who gives mighty power, he's not going to give you a spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit, who gives mighty power, love, and self-control. So never be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor be embarrassed over my imprisonment, but overcome every evil by the revelation of the power of God. He gave us resurrection life and drew us to himself by his holy calling. Everybody say, his holy calling. Okay, by his holy calling on our lives. And it wasn't because of any good that we have done, but by his divine pleasure and marvelous grace that confirmed our union with the anointed Jesus even before time began. Say, before time began. God had this planned out for you to have this connection to him before time began. So we have been drawn to Christ by a holy calling. And when we enter into Christ by that holy calling, it's not because of anything that we've done. It's because of what he has done. It's because of what he has done. We tend to think, getting back to some of the ideas in last week's part one, we tend to think of holiness as something that we struggle to do. That we struggle to do. But holy isn't something we do. Holy is something we are. Think about it. Holy isn't something we do. Holy is something we are. He has set us apart. Holiness is a realm, if you will, a place in the supernatural where we get to experience a level of living that the world can't comprehend. So do we live holy? Yes, we actually do. But we don't become holy because we behave holy. Let me say that again. We don't become holy because we behave holy. We behave holy because we are holy. When I know who I am, and I know what it benefits me to be who I am and to do what I'm created to do, I do what I'm created to do, and as I do what I'm created to do, I find myself being set apart to do that very thing. And if that requires me to stop drinking pop so that I can have a nice voice, so I can speak to people and sing and lead worship, if I want to do that, which I know I'm called to do, which I know fulfills me in just amazing ways, then at some point I get it. This is not helping me. I will separate myself from that. In so doing, now I can do what I was created to do and be what I was created to be, and I start to live holy because it's just who I am. Anybody understanding this besides me, or am I just... Well, Tim, you're doing a great job. I love what you're saying there. That means so much to me. As I recognize that I live this way because of who I am, I begin to see that the things that I have missed or that I might have missed are nothing compared to the things which I have gained or that I have yet to gain, but I can gain. And that's why certain things have been set apart my whole life. My whole life I've made decisions because I was set apart. Some of those were things that were easy to understand in the natural. I've mentioned this before at least once or twice, but I was hunting one year, and I watched deer after deer walk by that I could not shoot because they did not have antlers. And I had no doe permit. I only had permit to shoot a buck. And so the does were walking by, and back in that day, by the way, they want you to take does now. It's like, yeah, get them out of here. We got so many deer, we don't want to do it. But back then, you couldn't shoot the does unless you had a special permit. And the one day I came out of the woods after watching 11 doe walk by my gun, and I told the guys I was hunting with, and they were, well, you should have shot it. You should have shot it. We would have tagged it for you. Because they all had doe tags, and I didn't have one. And I knew I couldn't do that because I was a pastor. And sure as I shot that doe and she went down, right behind her would be a 4 foot tall guy from the Department of Natural Resources saying, where's your doe permit, boy? And then in the newspaper, it wouldn't say local man caught poaching. It would say local pastor caught poaching. And it would be a blemish for my church. I also knew that those guys would see me do that, and they would see me compromise, and they would think, see, yeah, compromise is okay. And, I might even be able to argue all things are lawful for me, but not all things are good for me. Like, the government shouldn't be able to tell me what to do. But, wisdom prevailed, and I didn't do it. And by the way, I didn't get a deer that year. And my wife was like, whew. Good, I don't have to deal with that crappy meat. She didn't like venison. She did have this really wonderful chili, though, that she could make out of deer burger that was just awesome. But she was like, whatever, let's go buy a cow. Quit bringing that stuff home. I've really only begun to scratch the surface here on holiness. But I hope that as you've listen to what I said last week and this week, you've come to the revelation that, wait a minute, holiness makes my life better. Why would I not want a better life? Setting myself apart to the things that God created me for, whether that's some kind of athletics where you have to give up certain things that you want to do because you want to hone your body to be strong to do that thing, or whether that's, educational stuff where instead of playing video games like the rest of the kids, some of you kids find you've got to actually do something called study. Oh, the pain of it all. Or whatever it is, you set yourself apart so that you can become something that otherwise you would miss. And the rewards of that are unbelievable. If we can hear the voice of God, set ourselves apart, become more holy, therefore hearing more of his voice, seeing more of what he's doing, understanding what he's got us to do. And all of a sudden, our holy days, our holidays, aren't the only time that we remember God. Because, you know, the world sets aside a few special days, and some of them are connected to the Christian calendar, and hallelujah for that. But you know what? What if every day could be a holiday? What if every day could be a holy day? What if you didn't have to wait until next Saturday to receive gifts? Because God's got something for you every day. Wow. And that would mean that you would have happier and more abundant holidays. And that's what God wants for us. Well, I want to pray for you. Because after telling you this, if you're going to be anything like me, you're going to have these things popping up. Like I said, one of them was, what am I choosing to listen to or watch? And I'm not saying, by the way, that I'm going to let my wife off the hook here. The Hallmark movies are probably not, you know, evil, honey. Written by God. Well, I don't know about that. Oh, Lord, yeah, he knows. He's got more plots than that. And he would pick different actors, not the same ones over and over and over. But, you know, I think there is she can watch a movie. She likes the Hallmark movies. I actually watch them with her, truth be told, usually with a laptop in my lap. And kind of, okay. But anyway, I can get interested in them. But, you know, it's a nice, relaxing thing, you know. That's a positive thing. You're going to sit down. You're going to enjoy a movie. You're going to relax. Okay, you're gonna rest. You're gonna be refreshed. That's a, you know, on that line of, you know, not helpful to helpful. That can be helpful, but of course, if you sit at home, which she does not do, but if you sit at home and you decide to binge all the Hallmark movies for 3 weeks, doing nothing but eating popcorn and chocolate, that's probably the opposite of what God's got in mind for your body. Does that make sense? So I'm just going to pray that God will begin to work in you. Listen, you are not going to stop everything. Oh, I see that now. The conviction to maybe change something might come on some of you after I pray. And I don't expect you to find that you can instantaneously do that. Maybe you will, if that's your testimony. Tell us all and then pray for us that we can all have that same experience. But what I'm saying is God may start to work in you to say, okay, this is not helpful. This is not edifying. Let's move away from that. Let's move away toward more helpful, more edifying. So put your hand on somebody nearby if you can. Grab hands or whatever. Yeah, put it on their shoulder. Holy Spirit, I believe that our vision of holiness now has an opportunity to change from drudgery and frustration and doing things we have to do to becoming people who let things go that are taking away from us and move into the things that are edifying and building us up and creating in us the image of Christ walking in the earth so that the world may know and see who you are. So we pray, God, that as you use this word today and other things that are said to us, and as you begin to speak to us by your Holy Spirit individually about what we have to do different, what we can change, what we can do that will bring us closer to you, what we can do that will edify, I pray that this will cause us to want to walk in that level of edification that even Jesus walked in. That was amazing. And so we believe, God, that we can look more like your Son by following his example. And so we pray that you will work in us all, those who are viewing online or those who are in this room, that you'll work in us all to a greater level of holiness. And then we'll have happier holy days, happier holidays all the time, everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, amen.